Chapter 4. It was a starfighter. An old one, of a design completely unfamiliar to me. It had a wider wingspan than DDF ships, and was shaped like a wicked W. Straight, razor-like wings at the sides framed an old, dust-covered cockpit in the center. The acclivity ring, the thing that gave starfighters their lift, was buried in the rubble underneath the ship, but from what I could see, it looked whole. For a moment, I forgot about the test. A ship. How long had it been here to collect that much rubble around it, and that much dust? One wing had been bent almost to the ground, probably by a cave-in, and the rear boosters were a huge mess. I didn't know the model. That was incredible. I knew every DDF design, every Krell ship, and the roving trade ship designs used by nomadic human clans. I had even studied old ships we'd flown during the first decades after crashing on Detritus. I could rattle off each of these practically in my sleep, draw their silhouettes from memory. But I'd never seen this design. I dropped my pack and climbed, gingerly, up the wing that had been bent down. My bracelet provided light as my boots scraped off caked-on dust, revealing a scratched metallic surface. The right side of the ship was particularly banged up. It crash-landed here, I thought. Long ago. I climbed up near the circular cockpit, which had a glass, well, probably fusion plastic, canopy that was remarkably intact. The ship was generations past having enough power to open its own cockpit, but I found the manual release panel right where I expected it. I brushed the dust off and found letters. In English. They said, "Emergency canopy release." So the ship was human. It must be old then, likely as ancient as the apparatus and the rubble belt. I yanked on the release lever to no avail. The thing was stuck. I put my hands on my hips and considered breaking in, but that seemed like a shame. This was an antique, the sort of thing that belonged on a pedestal in the Igneous Ship Museum, where we celebrated warriors of the past. There was no skeleton in the cockpit, though, so either the pilot had escaped, or it had been here so long that even the bones had turned to dust. All right, let's be delicate about this. I could be delicate. I was incredibly delicate. Like, all the time. I attached one end of my light line to the release lever, then walked across the top of the ship to the rubble at the rear, where I attached the other end of the light line to a boulder. That separated the energy rope entirely from the bracelet, which stopped glowing. The rope could function for an hour or two once separated from its power source, but would remain stuck at the length it was when released. I got down on my back, braced myself against the wall, and shoved the boulder with my feet. It started rolling down the rubble, and as soon as I heard a click from the cockpit, I disengaged the light line with a tap. The glowing rope released its holds on either end and was sucked back into the bracelet. That done, I scrambled over to find the lever pulled and the ancient cockpit popped ajar. Reverent, I lifted the canopy all the way, sending dust cascading to either side. The interior looked extremely well preserved. Indeed, as I slid down into the cockpit, I found that the seat was stiff, but the leather wasn't cracked or decomposing. Similar controls, I thought, resting my left hand on the throttle, my right hand on the control sphere, fingers resting in the grooves. I'd sat in mock cockpits before at the museum, but never in a real ship. I reached into my pocket, feeling my father's pin, which I'd recovered from its hiding place before setting out into the tunnels. I held it up, letting it sparkle in the glow of my bracelet. Was this what my father had felt? This snug sense of rightness when sitting in a cockpit? What would he think if he knew his daughter spent her time hunting rats? That she was here, in a dusty cavern, instead of sitting and taking the pilot test? That she'd folded, instead of fighting? I didn't fold, I said. I didn't run. Or, well, I had. But what else could I have done? I couldn't fight the entire system. If Admiral Ironsides herself, head of the DDF, didn't want me in, there was nothing I could do. Anger flooded me. Frustration. Hatred. Hatred at the DDF for how they'd treated my father. Anger at my mother and teachers. Every adult who had let me keep dreaming when surely they'd all known the truth. I closed my eyes and could almost feel the force of the ship's booster behind me. Could almost sense the pull of G-forces as I took a turn. The scent of crisp, clean air pulled in from the upper atmosphere and pushed into the cockpit. I wanted to feel it more than anything. But when I opened my eyes, I was back in a dusty old broken-down antique. I would never fly. They'd sent me away. A voice whispered from the back of my mind, "What if that is the test? What if they wanted to see what I'd do? Scud, what if Mrs. Vermeer had been lying? What if I'd run away for nothing, or worse, what if I'd just proven that I was a coward, like everyone claimed my father had been?" I cursed, checking the clock on my Lightline bracelet. 4 hours. I had 4 hours until the test. But I'd spent almost an entire day wandering. There was no way I could make it back to Igneous in time, could I? "Claim the stars, Spensa," I whispered. I had to try.